there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Look, we're always trying to make you a better diver, despite what we say and what we do. And there is a right way to dive, believe it or not. And there's a book to prove it. We've already had one of these books covered extensively on Scuba Radio. Book 2 just came out a few weeks ago. The Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette by Dennis and Debbie Jacobson. Dennis is on Scuba Radio to help us become better divers. And, you know, basically cover some of the things that is mentioned in book two of the Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette. Dennis, how are you, my friend? Good to hear your voice again. Maybe.
Again, I'm doing good. I'm standing outside in 100 degrees here in Colorado today. It's a kind of a hot day.
Yeah, it's warm all over the U.S. right now. So we might as well talk about getting wet, going diving, yeah. cooling off. But to do it the right way, and that's what the Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette is all about. So let's talk about some of these elements. So you're not that guy. You don't want to be that diver. That's what this book is designed to help you achieve, is to avoid being the guy that everyone kind of looks at or talks behind their back. I don't want to be that idiot. Yeah, he drives me crazy. Right? Right?
Spot on, and that's why we're a big fans of Scuba Radio, because you get it. You know, some people think that, oh, now I'm going to go diving and it's just all about me, and they're oblivious to everyone else around them. Or today I'd like to talk about the flip side, where they just think that everyone else is somehow under their command, or they need to help everyone else, and they may not necessarily be either competent to help, or their help may not be wanted.
Wait a second.
That's where I wanted to start is not just those that are oblivious, but those that are, you know, they're just kind of a little intrusive sometimes. And we've got a section on that in chapter 2 of the second book, where we talk about some additional dive boat rules. And the one I have in mind is ask before helping.
Just to be perfectly clear,
yeah.
What we're going to do today is talk about how you can be a better diver by not, and I'm just going to throw this out there, let's say you get on the dive boat and you start telling the boat exactly what we're going to do next.
Right.
Exactly.
You don't
right.
want to be
That's
clueless
cool.
and obnoxious. It's
so.
A bad combination, and this book will once again help identify some of those issues that if you are kind of clueless and obnoxious, maybe it will make you aware of some of the things you're doing that are upsetting everybody else on the boat or making you look like that guy.
To be fair, though, it's not going to. It's only going to allow those of us who know who that guy is to point and laugh.
Well, at least we'll be able to
wing.
And sometimes
injure them. There's a story in the book about that where a guy is on we're in a small boat off of the coast of Mexico, and a young man had his eye on a young lady who was diving with a female friend. And as she was getting ready to climb back up on the boat,
mm-hmm.
you know, short ladder, unsolicited, he thought he'd help her.
I bet he did.
By putting his hand on her very attractive buttocks and giving her a shove. Well, she didn't ask. And he was met with a kick to the face. And if you're ever kicked in the face when you're wearing a scuba mask, you know, that's an injury-producing formula.
Yeah, right? I mean, if she would have gave him $20 first, it would have been fine. But no, I doubt that would have been the case either. But yeah,
the idea is ask before helping, or if ask someone if they want help, and only ask if they invite it. I was a victim of this. It's also in the book. Broken finger on a dive trip one time. But sometimes people think I'm older than I am, though I'm pushing 60 and pushing it really hard. But and my wife's hair's white. But they start helping put our gear away without asking, and not boat crew members. And a guy smashed my finger pretty badly. And I couldn't put everything in the book. I said I just put in what I said at the end, which was very classy.
No, wait.
I got all the venting out.
I'm confused. So he started putting your gear away for you with the idea of he thought he was helping you, and then he broke your finger? Or no? How did that happen?
Right. I was in fact leaning over using the tank rack. I had my hand on the tank rack, leaning over retrieving a mask, and had not yet picked up my gear off the deck to replace in the tank rack. You know how you will before you change out in your gear.
Right.
And this guy, while I'm leaning over retrieving, actually changing masks, I use prescription masks, and I had one that wasn't leaking. It was leaking on me, so I'm getting ready just to change masks. And this guy said, "There, let me put that away for you," and smack right on my hand, right by the tank rack.
No, that's not good. Now let me me switch it around on you a little bit, Dennis. Let's say I'm coming up out of the water, and I've been working out that week, and I was like, you know,
so suddenly you're stronger.
I'm stronger, and
so you're not trying to help; you're trying to show off.
Yes, and I'm thinking, hey,
suddenly I'm so muscular.
I you know, is there any move I can make to have like an attractive female help me up the dive ladder? There,
you know, that's
probably
sure
bad
there
form
is
too. I guess.
I'm sure that. Well, let me put it this way: I'm sure there must be, but nobody's told it to me yet.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm sure no one would admit
the thing about just manners and being polite includes being helpful. You know, in the first book we talked about advice. Don't give advice unless A, you're asked, and B, you're competent to answer the question or give the advice. A lot of times people forget the second part. And the same thing's true with helping other people. You know, I'm not going to help you set up your rebreather because I've never done any rebreather diving.
Yeah.
But there are people that just, you know, they know it all. And they like Bill said, they're going to show off. They're going to tell you about how their last dive trip they went on, they went down 600 feet and you know, things like that. So
right.
So we like people that engage in polite conversation, enjoy the same things we do, and quite frankly, leave us alone.
Good point. All right, some of the other things that when you're out on a dive boat, let's go through some of them. And actually, I think we're working out of Chapter 2. And book two of the Scuba Snob's Guide of Diving Etiquette. But let's run through some of these, Dennis. What do we got?
Well, we talk a lot about don't touch other people's stuff, which is a real good segue from don't grab other girls' butts, you know?
Yeah.
Don't touch their other stuff, too, not just the stuff on their body. but I'm sure that you've been in, maybe you haven't had this happen.
No,
maybe
I haven't.
Maybe it's just us.
Yeah.
But where somebody decides they're going to move your stuff from your spot to a different spot because they want your spot on the dive boat. Or somebody just picks up your stuff because they think it's their stuff. I think I tell a story in here. Like I say, I dive with prescription masks. A guy swore, no, this is my mask. This isn't your mask. And I finally had to say, look through it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what.
See a thing.
When they start moving your stuff and it's stuff that's attached to you, that's real. Well, actually, you might want to give them a tip for that, depending on what they look like. But,
depends who the mover is and how good they're at it, exactly.
Right. Okay, that makes sense, of course, yeah.
But we're talking about not moving other people's stuff. And then we also talk in that same chapter about, but move your stuff if it's in the aisle. Going back to the first book, when we were telling people, you got to have a boat bag. Mm-hmm. Because we were people put things, they, again, these are the people that forget they're not the only person on the boat. And large pelican cases or actually pieces of luggage that don't even belong on a day boat blocking the aisles, people getting out of the water and dropping stuff, fins and things, cluttering up aisles.
Greg, don't worry. I'm sure he's not talking about you and the pelican cases that you travel with. I'm sure he's not talking about you, Greg.
Because I don't travel with pelican cases. I travel with...
I suppose that's true. I meant the more generic concept of a hard case because the Nanook cases beat the snot out of a pelican case.
Yeah. The only bonus to that...
I didn't mean to... Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, if you have a case like that, set it up where it's closed up, where they can sit on it. How about that? Can you do that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just have it packed up out of the way. Don't have it taking up a lot of deck space. That's the idea, right?
Well, and if you're on a liveaboard and you're hauling a lot of gear, you're going to have a number of cases, maybe suitcases, but they don't belong on the dive deck.
No, indeed. Okay, well, hold on. We got more with Dennis from the Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette. This is really important. Where are you going to go to the bathroom? We got to talk about that. Yeah, when you're out on a boat in the ocean. You make the guess, but we'll tell you after the break.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at ExplorerVentures.com, but it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explorer Ventures apart from the rest. That's why we've made Explorer Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. Matter of fact, we'll be on several trips throughout the year, and we'd love for you to join us on any of these great diving adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explorer Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit ExplorerVentures.com. That's ExplorerVentures.com.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into ScubaRadio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at ScubaRadio.com.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Dude, an ancient sunken city.
Could it possibly be? Are the old legends true? It is. It's the fabled lost city of Atlanta.
Howdy, y'all.
I'll take you to my island, show you lots of good time. I'll take you around the world and be proud that you are mine. I'll buy you lots of things, buy you lots of diamond rings. And anything you want, that's why I have to sing it to Ilucha. Oh, yeah. To Inagra, make that thing to Long Island. All around the Bahamas. Grand Bahama, and Walker's Key.
And welcome back to the World Coast Radio Show devoted to diving. All right, Dennis from the Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette is on the line with us. And we're going to delve into another issue on dive boats. Now, we covered, you know, leaving space for everybody else, storing your stuff in a dive bag, and getting rid of that and making sure you're good to go. But, Dennis, there's another issue in Chapter 2 of book number two here. You know, you mentioned smoking and things, but let's get into some issues that are a little more, bit more touchy. Seasickness, for instance. There's etiquette you should follow in that regard, right?
That's exactly right. Actually, we have a lot more on that in book one, but sometimes I forget with the second book out. Not everybody's read the first book. Both are still available, of course, in both paperback or ebook on Amazon and just almost every online bookstore, and of course at scubasnobs.com. But the idea is that some people they don't think about bodily functions, and I think we are talking about puking and peeing here.
Okay.
To be specific. In fact, I have to tell you, I was speaking at a dive club here in the Denver area, and one of the people there remembered the first time I was on your program, it was almost a year ago, and you had interviewed Jean-Michel Cousteau in the first hour. I was on later.
Right.
And the person in the audience says, yeah, it was really cool. So this was like making me feel like a pretty important guy. And she says, yeah, Jean-Michel talked about Ocean Conservancy, and Dennis talked about peeing.
Yeah, well, you know, we got to do it. So, and you want to be a good diver. You don't want to be that diver. So,
it's wetsuit peeing in the ocean, not on the boat. Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So that's the issue. So if you're going to urinate in your wetsuit, and there's two types of divers: divers that pee in their wetsuit, and divers that lie about peeing in their wetsuit.
Right.
So the idea is do it in the water. Don't get up out of the water and decide, well, I'll just go ahead and let it flow while I'm up there showering off on the dive deck, because we're going to notice, right? Is that what's going to happen?
Exactly so. And not only that, but don't forget the five-minute rule, which is don't get back on the boat for 5 minutes after you did nuke your suit, because you got to get a little rinse.
You got to get a little rinse in there. Okay.
Exactly.
Now, all this stuff and more is covered in book number two of the Scuba Snobs Guide to Diving Etiquette. Scubasnobs.com. Go there, and you can get all the information you need to pick up this book. But it's also available at Amazon, bookstores across the world, e-books and Kindle, the whole thing. Right, Dennis?
That's right. Both Kindle and Nook for anybody's got it. You'll work on your iPad and... And we're real happy to have an ad for it there on Scuba Radio. And I believe you can just click the ad and it'll connect you right in, just like you can click all the other good sponsors you have and it'll do the same thing.
Well, I appreciate that, Dennis. But once again, scubasnobs.com. And thank you so much for making at least Bill a better diver today, because he has some issues.
You know, I'm still trying to get over his mermaid picture, but, you know, we all love Bill in our own way.
Yes, in our own way. Well said. All right, Dennis, you have a great day. Talk to you again soon,
you
my
too.
Friend. Scuba Snob's Guide to Diving Etiquette, Book 2, found everywhere. Go check it out. All right, so let's move on to Dominica, and then it's off to, we're going to talk a little bit about some lobster stuff. But Dive Fest just wrapped up there on the Nature Island, and I have Simon on Scuba Radio right now to give us a full report. Simon, how are you, my friend? Are you there with us?
Hey, not too bad, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. So Dive Fest just wrapped up. There in Dominica, how was it? What did we have new? What did we miss since we weren't able to witness this firsthand?
Yeah, well, you missed some things, but I think more than anything, the amount of people that came to me and said, where's Scuba Radio? Where are the mermaids?
Right.
So you were missed down here.
Okay, wait. You said, where's Scuba Radio? Where's the mermaids? No mention of Greg whatsoever, but at least they missed Scuba Radio and the mermaids. So we'll take it.
No. You and Scuba Radio, you and Sue Scuba Radio are synonymous. You're the same in everybody's mind.
It's more like, hey, where are those mermaids and their pimp? That's kind of like the vibe we get sometimes.
Possibly.
Yeah. But
I don't know if you remember, it was just a few years ago, people were sort of saying, looking at me and going, mermaids? You're bringing mermaids to Dominica? You know, with a kind of look of confusion. And now it's, where are the mermaids?
That's right.
The mermaids?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they've made a lot of friends there in Dominica for sure. But I know you things were a little more tame or a little bit more locally centralized this year for Dive Fest, gearing up for next year's event. But what did you do different? I know there was like a lionfish derby or something you did at Dive Fest this year, or what? What was that?
Yeah, we kind of put a little bit of a serious spin on it this year. We still had all the usual events that you and the mermaids have loved over the years, the Fort Young Happy Hour and the Kabuli canoe race, right, and the treasure hunt with the kids, and Discover Scuba with all the kids in the pool. So we did all that stuff. But the theme this year was Save the Reef, Eat a Lionfish. So as you know, just like every island to the north of us and South Central America, Florida, everywhere seems to be invaded by this fish. So
yeah,
what we were trying to do was sort of create the linkages between the fishermen and letting them realize how to harvest this fish and how to hunt it, and that it was sellable, and then having the restaurants realize that they should be buying lionfish from the restaurants, from the fishermen, and also getting the consumers to realize how good lionfish was to eat. So we were giving away lionfish fritters, and at every event we were having taste testing of lionfish. So I can't tell you how hard my friend Izzy and I were out there on the reefs every day, because we're not invaded like some of the other islands where they're huge populations, but we're out there very hard for a couple of weeks, killing every lionfish we could and freezing it and stocking up the freezer for all of these free lionfish events.
Ah,
but they went great. So we also had a chef competition.
Ah, just how to fix them up and as tasty as possible. Is that it?
Yeah, so we had five local chefs given a mystery package of ingredients, you know, like a basket, and one of those ingredients was a lionfish. I guess there was no mystery there. And then they had half an hour to prepare an appetizer and a main course, and then we had five judges. And the interesting thing, Greg, was that none of the chefs had ever cooked lionfish, none of the judges had ever eaten lionfish. So everybody, you know, and then the audience were getting free samples of not what the chefs were cooking, but lionfish we were handing around. And then I did a demo on, you know, how to cut off all the poisonous bits and then how to prepare it while all of that was going on. So it was great, big attendance, and everybody loved it. I think it's going to be a regular part of Dive Fest.
Excellent. Well, and we got to already look forward to next year. The 20th year anniversary of Dive Fest will take place next July, and we will be there with Tails On. Yes, it's going to happen for sure. We'll give you details about that here in just a bit on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
DiveFest.com. Go there and make plans for next year's event. July 5th, or I think it's July 5th through the 19th, thereabouts, right around the July 4th holiday, will be the 20th year anniversary of DiveFest. So make plans now to join us, and we'll have a good old time on the Nature Island for sure with some lionfish McNuggets or something, or whatever they're cooking up there. Now, it's time to switch gears back to the States and kind of do our Florida spiny lobster round robin of dive locations that's going to be cooking big time this week. Starting it off as far south as we can in the United States and Key West. Mike Ainge from Seaduction Dive Center is on Scuba Radio right now. Mike, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, man. Greetings to Key West.
Yes, yeah, so we got Florida spiny lobster season taking place. The mini season is Wednesday and Thursday this week. There where you are, you can't start hunting for them until sunrise on Wednesday. Is that right? Is that the deal?
That's right. They don't let us do it between sunset.
Okay. All right. So you got to get a little. You get a later start there in the Florida Keys in Monroe County. However, you guys are going to take advantage of the first rays of light. Is that the case? When are you going out Wednesday morning with your crew?
That's it. Our sunrise officially is 6:52 a.m.
Okay.
Boat plans to leave the dock at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
And we hope to be on the site doing lobster by the time rays of sun tickle the sky.
Nice. All right, so while the rays of sun tickle the sky, you hope to tickle them out of those cracks and crevices and bag some of those lobsters down in Key West. Is there a particular site you already have scoped out where they're just huddled in the masses, or what? What are you seeing down there in Key West?
We we have sites picked out, Greg, but that's highly classified information.
Yes, if he told me, he would have to kill me. These are this is privileged information for sure.
The real problem is he didn't enjoy it too much.
What, killing me?
Yes.
Well, that could be. All right, hold on, Mike. We'll get we'll see if we can squeeze a little bit more information out of him here after the break, and then start working our way up the Florida coast. And this might give you some ideas on where you want to spend that Florida mini season coming up Wednesday and Thursday this week here in Florida.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey, George, the ocean called. They're running out of shrimp.
We were at the beach. Everybody had matching towels. Somebody went under a dock. It wasn't a rock. Was a rock lobster.
And welcome back. It is Florida spiny lobster season this coming week, Wednesday and Thursday. This is a sports season for recreational divers before they set the traps with the commercial lobstermen. Gives you your first crack at the Florida spiny lobster, which hopefully the odds are better for you because you're not competing with those lobster traps. So it's always a good sign. Mike Ains from Seaduction Dive Center is on with us from Key West. They're going out at the first rays of light on Wednesday with a crew. You won't tell me the location you're going, but you have definitely already scoped out a few sites, I'm guessing, there off the coast of Key West where these lobsters are congregating. Is this true, Mike? Can you tell me that much?
We've got crews with lots of local experience on the water, and these guys are promising me to put me on good sites on Wednesday.
Nice. Now, what are you hoping to, other than the lobster dives on Wednesday morning, are you guys going out for that, nonstop for the mini season, or just do a couple special dives for the lobster folks, or what? Because it gets pretty nutty down there.
It does. It gets insane. So we're going to do, we have two boats running. We have our bigger boat will be running our regular charters because that business doesn't stop. And then the smaller boat, which has just been through a big refit, has been renamed the Penetration, is going to be running lobster divers out all day, both days.
Okay, very good. And so are you expecting a big crowd for mini season this year? I mean, what are the folks down there in Key West expecting? I mean, because it is quite a... it's like what they expect, like 30, 40,000 people down in the Keys for mini season, don't they? I mean, this is just crazy time down there divers.
It is. It's the first one that I've actually been in Key West for. I've been in Florida for a lot of them, but first one in Key West. But I understand it's quite a zoo down here beginning sometime Tuesday afternoon. It should be exciting.
Yeah, so you should get your plans in place now if you don't already have them, and make sure you got a place to stay, you got places to get your air tanks filled, you got tanks, and all that kind of good stuff, and obviously have your boat's spaces reserved with places like Seaduction Dive Center there in Key West. Right, Mike? That's pretty much it in a nutshell, right?
You definitely need to reserve everything in advance. We've got people already calling in, can't find rental tanks anywhere because everything's already committed up. So it's first come, first served. If you don't have a reservation someplace, you're probably going to be out in the cold.
All right, so one last question for you, Mike. Are you a tickler or a looper?
A tickler.
He's a tickler. Of course he's a tickler.
Yeah, but we wanted to know about his lobster hunting.
Hey! Thank
Hello.
You.
Right. You know, somebody who I absolutely positively know is a tickler.
Yeah?
Is Pete Murray.
Really?
Pete from Scuba Board. Net Doc from Scuba Board.
Are you a tickler?
Absolutely, positively a tickler. He has tickled me.
Really? I don't know. Are you willing to own up to that, Pete?
I don't know that I'm willing to own up to that. I am definitely a lassoer.
Ah.
Call me a cowboy. I snare them puppies.
Yeah, so he's a looper.
I'm a looper. I'm a looper all the time, but... Hey, and you know what I can say right now with Mike on the phone without having to worry about blowing smoke out of his butt?
Yeah, okay.
During this mini season, if you haven't dove in a while, get a refresher, first of all, but go with a boat that's got people on it like they have at Mike's place, a Seduction. I mean, you need to have that extra margin of safety. So many people get hurt are the people on the private boats. So
yeah.
Go with a real boat, a real captain.
Yeah.
And improve your chances of success and not getting hurt.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, Pete, because one of the things that happens for mini season is you get a lot of folks that haven't been in the water in some time, having a little extra supervision, being in a group can't hurt. And it's not usually the divers that mess up. It's the boaters, the guys that are getting out on the boats. There's so many of them out there. They're not operating their vessel properly, or they don't pay
Captain
attention
Morgan
to the flags.
Captain Morgan and Captain Budweiser are our worst enemies.
Exactly. True. So a much better or safer option for you is to go out with a real dive charter operation. They are doing a special refresher course actually Sunday, July 22nd, there at the Swimmers Hall of Fame in Fort Lauderdale, by the way.
Oh, very cool.
Reviveyourdive.com. Go there and check it out. But you're in Key Largo there,
I am.
Pete. Now, I think you are going to go out on a private vessel, though, aren't you?
I am.
But you've made all the proper plans. Yeah.
It's not been years since I've dove, and we're going to a very, very secretive spot that nobody knows.
Which is located where?
In the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, darn it. I thought I could get him. I just thought maybe he would fall for that one, but no. All right, so...
I'm not as dumb as Bill looks.
No one is.
Well, good point. Anyway, all right, so you got a place scoped out, though, already, then.
And we actually got a few places. You know, we've been diving down here in the Keys ever since they've closed mini season and seeing where the lobsters are congregating and, you know, taking notes, taking pictures of a few of them and going, uh-huh, yeah, I'm coming back for you, buddy.
Right. Well, you know, that's what they do. As soon as the season shuts down and you haven't seen them because you're looking for them, you can't find the friggin' things. And then as soon as the season closes, they come out from all over the place and they just, like, dance on top of the reef. They taunt you. You can eat me. You know, that kind of thing. And then, as soon as the season opens, they disappear. It's like, what the heck is going on with these things? Are they smarter than we think we are, or they are, or I don't know. One of them.
They're as hard to find as Bill when he owes you money.
Okay. That's a good point. Maybe. I don't know. He doesn't really owe me. I guess he doesn't have any, I think. Is that what it is, Bill?
Never a lender, nor have any money...
To lend. Okay, fair enough.
That's my mother taught me that.
He's got that down pat.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so you do have a 6-bug limit in Monroe County where you're going to be diving, and then
that's correct. And as well as lots of places are off limits here in Monroe County.
There are some places that are off limits. Like what?
Oh my God! Yeah, but like some of the places are usual. You can't go bugging in the parks.
Right,
you know,
okay,
the National Park,
reserve,
okay.
Yeah.
There's some spas, special protected areas that are no-bug zones. The city of Layton has decided you can't go there. You can't be within 300 feet of the shore during mini season or 5 days after a regular season opens and bug. You can't go in a canal. You can't go off any man-made artifice.
No, wait, is that Monroe County in the Keys or everywhere?
Monroe County... is the one who's doing that, but there are a lot of places. I think it's Broward as well that's making you have to stay 300 feet away from shore and not able to bug in any of the canals during mini season or until five days after mini season opens or regular season opens.
Well, you know, that just goes back to going out with a charter or at least making sure you know the local situation because it's different everywhere you go. Just make sure you know before you go so you don't get yourself into trouble and play by
going
the
with the charter is just really a good idea unless you really, really, really know the area like I do. I mean, I live here,
right.
I know where I'm going, but people come here for the first time and I see people trying to steal coordinates every year, and you know, bugs move.
They're not there this year necessarily. We've been watching them where they've been going all year long, and so we kind of know where they've moved to. We've got their change of address form.
Yes. Yeah, you've been kind of, you know, sucking up to them while you've been diving with them and
yeah,
getting to
yeah,
know them
hey,
a little bit.
Hey, man, we're friends.
Then as soon as sunrise hits on Wednesday morning, it's like The Roommate, that movie The Roommate. You know, you kind of suck up to them and you befriend them, and all of a sudden, oh, I'm going to get you. You're mine.
Actually, wasn't that single white female?
It might have been. I don't know. They're kind of the same movie.
Yeah, you would wish that was a single white female.
All right. And you're a looper. You're definitely going to lasso those bugs this year.
Well, and here's why I'm a looper, okay? And I've wrestled many of the bugs out in my day. I've used a mop. That was kind of fun and weird.
Yeah, I would imagine. That would be strange.
In reality, when you loop a bug, you do very little damage to the bug, which makes a lot of sense if it turns out to be too short or having eggs.
Right.
So you get to reintroduce this lobster back into its environment with little damage done. Also, so much simpler that you don't wreck the reef.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's a snare. It's a looper. I'm a snare guy. I'm a looper.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Hosting a radio show about scuba diving and boating is one of the best gigs on the planet. It's actually part of my job to check out and report on cool new products I personally use to enhance my diving and boating adventures. However, I do believe in sharing the joy, and this is why we've added Nanook protective hard cases to our list of products you can now purchase on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Nanook cases are designed to protect the most sensitive equipment in the harshest environments. Underwater photographers, listen up. From their high-impact NK7 resin to their exclusive power claw latches, Nanook has raised the bar for those of you that demand the best protection for your gear. Plus, Nanook protective cases cost less than similar products currently on the market. The company has been around for over 15 years, but it's new to the U.S., so we've made a small number of Nanook cases available exclusively for you at a special introductory price on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Go there now and check out Nanook, the evolution of protection.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of Force Fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, Force Fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes Force Fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of Force Fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
You are a diver and have the Dive Flag shirt, hat, and bumper sticker to prove it. However, you can share your love of diving and ascend to a higher level with Dive Silver. Combining exquisite sterling silver with gemstones, Dive Silver is the perfect way to share your passion for the underwater world. From mantis to mermaids and everything in between, you'll find something truly unique to express your love of diving in the extensive line of Dive Silver jewelry. And at an affordable price, go to DiveSilver.com and see for yourself. That's DiveSilver.com.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Yes, I'm feeling it. The blood is starting to boil, kind of like a lobster pot. I think that's the inner lobster slayer and me coming out and getting ready for mini season. Wednesday and Thursday this week in the state of Florida, it is a mini sports season where we get a first crack at those Florida spiny lobster. Now, we've worked our way up through the Keys. Now it's up to South Florida. Captain Cocktail, Jeff Turow from South Florida Diving Headquarters, is on the line to give us a report from his neck of the woods. How are you, Jeffy? Are you ready for them lobster or what?
Oh, man.
The water is boiling. We're getting ready.
That's it. It is. It's so hot. The lobsters are probably going to come out pre-cooked this year, the way the weather's been lately here. But yes, yeah. But it's a. I've been looking at the weather. It looks like this week could be a very could be ideal weather conditions for mini season. Is that what you're seeing on the horizon as well, or no?
We see a little bit of choppiness tomorrow through maybe Tuesday, and
right.
It's supposed to start to lay down. So that might be a good thing,
yeah,
conducive to get them to move around. So. You know, only time will tell. The lobster's the only one that knows, I swear. All the scientists and all the brains in the world, we still can't figure out that crawfish.
That's right. Now, SouthFloridaDiving.com, that's the website you can go to and book your spot for this coming mini season there in Fort Lauderdale, Pompano Beach area, where Jeff is located. You got some sites already scoped out for Wednesday and Thursday? Are you doing that midnight thing, or what are you guys doing down there in South Florida?
No midnight thing. I don't think that's as productive as most people think it is. And you got to carry too much at one time with lights and tickle picks and nets. And
right.
You're tired. I think the best scenario is the early morning trips, to be honest with you. So we kind of quit doing that years back.
Yeah, you know, and plus you have that whole sleep thing. I'm not a big proponent of diving in the middle of the night. When I normally I'm sleeping, but that could just be me. There are some people, you know, they do it. Depending on where you check, though, they'll go be out in the water right there at 12:01, doing some diving. You can't do that.
Yeah, there'll be plenty of them out there.
Yeah, now you can do
that's
that.
For sure, but
up everywhere in Florida, you can do that, I guess, except in Monroe County, where they have you got to wait.
The rules are a little different there,
yeah.
Exactly, and the limits are 12 in. The entire state except Monroe County, where it's 6
right.
per person per day.
So you can get 24 lobster.
In our area.
Yeah, which is what I'm planning to do. I'm planning to come home with 24 lobster if I go out Wednesday and Thursday. I'm kind of trying to work it out now to see how I do it. I actually may fly down in an airplane. And
pilot then, your way down?
Yeah, I may get to do that. We will see.
Well, there's going to be one problem with that theory that they... They're not allowed to sell lobster until August 6th. So in Publix, they're not going to have it. I don't know how you can get that 24.
Yeah, that's really funny. I thought you were going to make some comment that like,
player.
Well, if he's flying down, they got a 50-50 chance. It'll never make it. Okay. Yeah. But,
actually, we should let him fly. This could be the advantage he's looking for, Jeff, because think about this. You know how when you fly over the coast and you can see the sharks in the
right.
water?
Yeah.
He's going to be able to fly and be able to pick them out because he's got that eye. He's got that lobster slayer eye. He's going to be able to see them from the pilot seat of the plane.
True.
And he's going to be able to know right where to go.
That's right.
Yeah, he's going to hit the GPS button, right? And then... He's like James Bond lobster slayer.
That's right.
Actually, he's going to make a mark on the side of the plane.
Maybe he'll just parachute out.
Yes.
I might do that. I might have to.
If you hear of an unpiloted small plane crashing into the ocean on Wednesday afternoon, this could be the answer. Maybe right. Tuesday afternoon.
It won't be a crash. Hey, it'll be on purpose.
We can always use another wreck. We can always use another wreck down here.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. All right, well, you know.
Keep the recreational limits there, will you?
That's
like
right.
60 feet?
Yeah, maybe. I'll see what I can do. All right, so.
Hey, on another note.
Yeah.
We're teeing up the race tomorrow.
That's right. You got a big underwater scooter race. So you can actually make a few day trip of it. And then Sunday, you can actually watch the race.
Sunday.
How many 20, scooter racers? 21 racers down there in Pompano Beach
racers.
Around the wreck of the Copenhagen. Is that what you were doing? Is that the wreck?
Yep. It's going to be trading paint.
Trading paint. Nice.
Rubbing's racing, baby.
Yeah. Who's, I mean, you did this last year. We were there. And is there a defending champion that's going to be in this race tomorrow trying to defend that title or what?
Yeah, that would be Michael Valvano.
Yeah.
Out of Orlando.
Uh-huh. And
he's
so...
He's riding a DiveX, supercharged DiveX with top secret. He's done something to it. We're not sure. But in the unlimited class,
restrictions, so you can tamper with them all you want.
Yeah, interesting. And are you going to get down there and scrape some paint yourself there, Jeff, this time? I know you were flirting with the idea.
Not this time.
No?
Yeah, they don't make a scooter powerful enough to drag my big rear end around the
Yeah, well, it'd be have to be super
drag.
Yeah,
you need some jockey-sized people to really do this effectively.
Yeah. Maybe that's true. Yeah, we were going to try to get one of our mermaids to be the official pace car for this year's race again, but we weren't able to put it together.
Wiki-Watchy in October. We can get her teed up for that.
Okay, all right. Yeah, we'll get the Wiki-Watchy folks involved. Yeah, Nikki and Denise are back there. Maybe we can get them to play ball with us. I don't know if that's the right terminology.
I don't think that's the right term, no.
We'll see what we can do with that. SouthFloridaDiving.com. Go there. You can book the race. Get more information about the H2O Rec Racing League thing tomorrow. And, of course, Florida Spiny Lobster mini season this Wednesday and Thursday. All right. That'll do it for this week. Remember, it's always better
down where it's wetter.
Good night, everybody.
You know how to whale here. That's why it's hot.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated. Scuba
Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.